Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here. Welcome back to Tesla Daily. Today we are talking about some new details on the Cybertruck shared by Franz von Holzhausen on the Ride the Lightning podcast. Also talked a little bit about some other vehicles that we'll talk about as well. Also got some updates on China FSD beta and a few other items. All right, looking at the stock, really nice day for Tesla today. 7.4% increase on the day, up to $131.49, significantly outperforming the NASDAQ, up about 0.15%. So really nice to see that after a rocky start to the begin of the year, Tesla now, after these price cuts, has held strength and even, I think, outperformed since we've had those. So nice to see that, the market kind of accepting it, and like we talked about yesterday, sort of getting past that and hopefully moving forward and focusing on some things like volume and market share and things like that throughout this year. So let's see how that goes. In terms of economic calendar, this week we'll keep an eye on the PPI Producer Price Index report that will come out tomorrow morning and a few other reports throughout this week. Also on the stock, we did have a couple of price target decreases today from analysts at Goldman Sachs and Bank of America. Both cut their price targets by $5 a piece, so interesting to see that. But again, given the changes that we have seen to pricing, not too big of changes for them, which I suppose would be a positive. Goldman Sachs still having a $200 price target based on 40 times their earnings for 2024. So obviously $5 per share is their expectation there in terms of EPS. And then Bank of America, they have lowered their price targets from $135 to $130. Less information on that one, but probably similar updates being made to their model as well. I did update my model on ShareLoft, significant cuts to my earnings expectations, as should be no surprise to anybody, but if you are a member there, you can check that out on the forum and in the research section as well. All right, getting into the updates from the Ride the Lightning podcast, I definitely recommend everybody check this out. Ryan posted this on Sunday, an interview with Franz von Holzhausen, about an hour long, tons of great details in here. We'll hit the highlights. So on the Cybertruck, Franz talked a little bit about, well, he didn't talk about it, but Ryan McCaffrey asked about production and mentioned that, oh, production, you know, it's about 6 months away. Franz reacted and said, hopefully, and then he said, well, yeah, basically. So that should give us a little bit of an idea of where Franz is expecting production to be at this point in time. Maybe not 6 months from now, so maybe not June, July, but maybe a little bit further out for that, which I think probably lines up with most of our expectations, but good to kind of have a little bit of insight in that from the minor reaction we got from Franz there. He said, in terms of the design, they're not really at pencils down because they never really have a pencils down moment. They're always making improvements, and that extends right up to production. And then once production starts, same thing. They're trying to always make improvements. We've talked many times about the iterative process for the Model S and every vehicle since then, where Tesla is just consistently trying to make as many improvements as they can on, you know, sort of as soon as possible basis for each vehicle. In terms of the product design, he did say that the doors on the Model X, or on the Cybertruck, will work like the Model X, where they pop open when they sense the person waiting to get in the vehicle. The back doors may also function that way as well, it sounded like. He didn't really say that for sure. It said, you know, sounded more like a maybe at this point. He did note that the doors will also have buttons, which, you know, we saw Elon sort of use at the Cybertruck or the Cyber Rodeo Giga Texas event early last year. He did say that the yoke would make a lot of sense for the Cybertruck, so they're looking at that for the Cybertruck as well. Obviously, they're now offering the round wheel with the Model S and X, so maybe we would see a similar offering or setup there with the Cybertruck. He talked a little bit about the stainless steel finish, talking about how they really want that to be the outside of the vehicle with no other treatment to it, because that's going to be the hardest part of the vehicle, as Tesla has talked about many times. He does say that it does have an intentional finish, so they, you know, make it look the way that it does intentionally, but there will be a process to buff out scratches if any should occur. Obviously, again, it's the hardest part of the vehicle, so hopefully after a lot of rigorous use, those things are still even pretty limited, but he did say that there will be a process for that to be buffed out that you could do on your own. How easy that would be remains to be seen, but something that theoretically you could do on your own, so that should be good. And then some of the features that we don't necessarily know about, he said that, quote, I think there will be pleasant surprises, end quote, and that they are the right competitive things for the product. Ryan asked about if vehicle-to-grid would be a feature, and Franz said, I won't comment, but, and then just kind of trailed off there. So read into that however you like, but obviously we've seen that offered from vehicles like the Ford F-150 Lightning, so we'll see what Tesla's plans are there. Now, Franz also talked a little bit about some other cars in terms of the roadmap. So Ryan McCaffrey asked if they would have a cyber car on the roadmap. That's obviously been something that's been heavily debated in the Tesla community. Apparently, Franz was smirking. This is an audio podcast, but Ryan specifically called out Franz's smirk on this, and he said possibly. But he said that a lot of things about the stainless steel work for a type of workhorse truck. Could you potentially say the same thing for a sedan? Probably not. But he didn't shut down other cars being designed in that way. And I think when they were talking about this, the first thing that popped into my mind is, okay, if you're talking about it being a workhorse, what other vehicle kind of makes sense in that regard? And that would obviously be a van. So, you know, we had, I don't know, probably a year ago or something at this point, that cyber van pop up on that Auto Forecast Solutions product roadmap for Tesla, where it's still a third party, but that caused a lot of speculation. I think with Franz's response here, and feel free to go listen to it yourself, but to me, it just kind of had the undertones of a van being sort of in the works. Not that anything was explicitly mentioned or that. It's really me reading into the conversation and how it went, but I think when you look at the characteristics of what Franz talked about making sense for the vehicle design for the Cybertruck, a lot of that fits with a van. So I don't think it's too big of a leap to head in that direction. As for some paint colors, just in general on Tesla vehicles, you know, we of course have seen the Quicksilver, rather, in Giga Berlin, and the Midnight Cherry Red, if that's the correct name for that. Still working on those new ones, but just asking about those in general, if we could see those come to the U.S., and he said that he would hope so, or I can't remember, I don't have the exact quote for that, but just in general on new paint colors coming to the U.S., he said, yeah, I hope so, yeah, wait and see. So I think we're probably due for that. As Elon has mentioned, though, before, it's not as simple as just introducing that paint color, because you then need to prepare to have that covered in service for, you know, the next 20 plus years, probably just to have parts in stock with those paint colors and things like that. So it does add a lot, not just as simple as introducing a new paint and calling it a day. So they also talked a little bit about the Roadster. He said that obviously it's been a little bit more delayed, but they have been working on the car. It's just been lower priority, obviously, as they are focused more on mass market type of stuff. But they are working on it in earnest, and the time has enabled them to improve on basically every metric that they set out to establish when they first debuted that. So I think that already had exciting metrics. That's exciting to hear. He said basically, take the Model S Plaid, extrapolate that on, let your imagination run a little bit, and that's where we're going. So I think that's very exciting too. And he did say in terms of the paint that there could be an opportunity for the Roadster to be unique in terms of paint colors, but they haven't really determined that yet. So I think in combination, all those comments, you know, we'd had this rumor that the Roadster might be in Q2 or Q3 just from some employee. And I think obviously with these comments, that makes that look less likely, like we had sort of made the assessment at the time. A few other general comments from Franz. He did say that the Berlin and China design team are really an integrated part of the design team. They work together as one unit. Ultimately, he did say that they want to see an evolution to work on localized products, but we're just not at that stage yet, is what he said. So I know there's been a lot of speculation about, oh, maybe there is this model that has been being developed in China and we're going to see that hit somewhat soon. I think that should put a little bit of that speculation, temper that speculation a little bit, since it does not sound like they are working on individualized, localized products yet. He talked about autonomy. And you know what his legacy would be. He sort of brought up autonomy, and maybe that what Tesla does can become a gold standard for what the future of transportation is like, because we're really at sort of a inflection point or turning point right now where we're transitioning into something that has never happened before with autonomy. And you know, that was kind of the first thing that came to mind for him for his legacy, which I thought was interesting, given that they had just talked about how the Model Y could be on track to become the best-selling vehicle in the world next year. This was pretty shortly after that comment, and this is still, you know, what Franz sort of first thought of when thinking about his legacy, so I thought that was interesting. And then finally, they talked just about safety of Tesla vehicles, of course, something we've spent a lot of time talking about, including that crash that, you know, very unfortunate, where the Tesla Model 3 or Model Y, I can't remember which one it was, went off a cliff and all people survived, 250-foot drop or something of that magnitude. And Franz put it really well. He said, even when somebody wasn't looking out for their family, Tesla was. And I think that was just a great way to describe, you know, the safety, particularly in that event, but in in terms of Tesla safety in general. So again, definitely recommend that. Ride the Lightning with Ryan McCaffrey. Looks like that's episode 389, and I did put a link to that down in the description if you want to listen to that full episode. All right, let's move on here. We've got a couple updates on Tesla in China, including new weekly insured numbers. That's BYD. I'll look at Tesla here first. So for the week of January 9th to January 15th, which obviously falls after the price cuts that we had seen in China, we're seeing a huge spike in insured vehicle numbers, up from 2,000 the week prior now to about 12,500. And as you can see here, this is more in line with the numbers that we were seeing in mid-December, or rather, I guess, in mid-November. And this was after the first round of price cuts that we had seen, which I think happened on October 24th. So if we look back at this, it is good to note that there is a little bit of sort of lag time, whether that's for orders or for logistical reasons, whatever the case may be. There is, at least when we saw the previous round of price cuts, a little bit of lag between when we see that first initial jump and then when we see the ultimate spike in terms of the delivery rate. So again, that's going to be influenced on Tesla's decisions on allocation, where vehicles are being made available, whether it's domestically or export. But something to keep in mind as we look at this week, and hopefully continue to see this rise then in the following weeks. In terms of BYD, just kind of always like to see them for some context. They saw an increase last week as well, not nearly as stark, but obviously not price cuts to the nature that we have seen from Tesla. So again, I think pretty limited in terms of what we can learn from this, but once we start to get a couple of weeks of data here, that'll be interesting to see. Hopefully we can see a little bit more, you know, longer term sustainability at these rates than what we saw in Q4. Also an interesting tweet here from Moneyball, often reporting on things in the China auto industry. Unnamed Tesla salesperson says that post price cuts, orders received in one day surpassed November order totals, which we can kind of look back here, and I think that was probably on the order of 40,000-50,000 vehicles or so for November, if my memory serves correctly. And apparently back-end system shows orders per day record near 80,000, which, you know, I find that a little bit tricky to believe. Again, you should see a spike and then it kind of tapers off. So I suppose it's possible that's not going to be sustained at that level, obviously. But if it were 80K, we had some other reports about 30,000, that would obviously be a strong number. But I don't put a ton of weight in that report. So again, we'll see over the next few weeks how these insured numbers come in. All right, next we've got a couple updates from Elon on FSD beta. So obviously we've all been waiting for version 11 to make its expansion beyond just some small group of internal employees. Tesla owner Silicon Valley asking when FSD beta version 11.3 might be released. Elon saying it should start rolling out later this week, next week at the latest. So we'll see on that. You know, we've certainly heard this a few times, so not putting a ton of stock in that at the moment, but hopefully that ends up being the case. And then Elon also replied in terms of things that he's excited about with this build, being many small things, notably that we're starting to make use of neural nets for vehicle navigation and control, not just vision. So this is something that's going all the way back to the first AI day, which would have been about 2 years ago, maybe 2.5 years ago now. I thought it was a little bit odd that Tesla was talking about not using that for basically planning purposes. Elon saying that basically they could get that with C++ and didn't feel like they had to use neural nets for navigation. So I'm actually really glad to see that they're moving in this direction. Not that, you know, I'm certainly not an expert in this field, but just kind of thinking about it, it would seem like that would be more adaptive to circumstances and more able to make progress more quickly once sort of they get that base layer in a good position. So I'm excited to see that, you know. As we've talked about before, that could lead to regression, and I think that's where right now Tesla's probably at in terms of the highway stack, or rather integrating the highway stack. So again, once we see this come out, I would expect some of that, but again, hopefully it makes a really good base layer that Tesla can then progress on from very quickly. So definitely looking forward to version 11. All right. Other thing on FSD today, you may have seen a headline from Reuters talking about how Tesla video promoting self-driving was staged, engineer testifies. So this was from Ashok, of the director of Autopilot, I think now is his title. But of course, he's presented at the various AI and autonomy days over the years. And although the headline here sounds pretty aggressive, this is really just talking about the 2016 video that Tesla used to demonstrate the capabilities of FSD. Or rather the future capabilities of FSD, because obviously at that time, as everyone here is very likely well aware, Those features that were demonstrated were obviously not usable in production vehicles. So I kept reading through this report, waiting for something that would be a little bit more shocking, kind of like the title implies. But at the end of the day, it's really just him testifying that the vehicle that was in the promotion video had different features than obviously what was being offered in production vehicles, which again, no surprise. Certainly today, Tesla can do, you know, I would say like 95% of what they demonstrated in that video. There's, you know, some details here, but in terms of the 95%, I think they demonstrated some parking stuff that we don't have yet today, but for the most part, obviously that is, you know, what Tesla demonstrated back then, now is part of the functionality in the vehicles today, which was really the intent. Obviously it took a little bit longer than what Tesla had hoped, but anyway, in terms of creating the video, it talked about how they used some 3D mapping on a predetermined route. Not surprising that that would be a predetermined route for that demo video. They talked about how there were test runs where drivers intervened. Again, not surprising. We already knew that information from the filings in California that Tesla had to make because of the production of this video. They had to log their miles and disengagements. So we already knew that information. Again, nothing groundbreaking there. They did say that when trying to show the Model X park itself with no driver, a test car crashed into a fence in Tesla's parking lot. So I guess that would be new information. I don't view that as necessarily groundbreaking. It's not surprising that they had some, you know, trial runs here to get this right in terms of just portraying what could be available. And really, at the end of the day, that's kind of what they said. So, aggressive sounding headline. Personally, I don't find that there's really much new information in there. But everyone can, you know, take that for what it, you know, take their own interpretation on that report. All right, last couple of things here. We've got an update from Hertz and Uber. They announced today that they're going to be expanding their partnership on electric vehicles, where basically Uber drivers can partner with Hertz to, I think it's structured as a rental, to use Hertz electric vehicles within Uber. So they're expanding that to 25,000 electric vehicles in Europe, primarily in London, it sounds like, is where they're starting, with the goals of expanding to Paris and Amsterdam. Starting in London now, expanding to this 25,000 number by 2025. So good to see that. They say that to date, they have 50,000 drivers that have rented a Tesla through this program from Hertz, and they've completed more than 24 million fully electric trips and over 260,000 or 260 million electric miles. So kind of good to get an update on those, and just obviously a good sign that they continue to expand this program. They do say that the vehicles that they'll offer for this will be from Tesla and also from Polestar. And then finally today, just again, the longest running story I feel like we've got at this point, Tesla and Indonesia back and forth. Indonesia's minister, one of their ministers, I'm not sure exactly which minister it was, but just commented that that they're close to EV deals with BYD and Tesla, and said, mentioned I think Hyundai and Kia as well, but again, I don't think there's anything too new there. We've talked about this so many times, and there have been so many different not even really different comments, but similar comments on this, you know, partnership or potential investment. So kind of just the same old story that we've been talking about for a while. Will it happen? Will it not? Remains to be seen. All right, that'll wrap it up for today. So as always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, and we'll see you tomorrow for the Wednesday, January 18th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.